On Main Street with Get Down to Business with Shalom Klein, the show for business and jobs. Now, the champion of networking, the advocate of jobs, the guru of business, your host, Shalom Klein.
We are all about small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship and business. We talk a lot about business here. You're on with Get Down to Business, and I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, you can always download podcasts from Get Down to Business on my website at ShalomKlein.com. And while you are there, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Shalom Klein. We've got a jam-packed week of content and information you won't want to miss. It's a live show. You could call us with your questions at 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. We are powered here at Get Down to Business by our good friends at Tandem HR, your solution center. Give them a call, 630-928-0510, 630-928-0510, or visit their website, their blog, at TandemHR.com. So I've got a full studio here, and first up on the program, I have my good friend Steve Steinfeld, the author of Three Steps Your Best Job Ever, Over 40 and Hired. It is a bestseller, and it's a great read. I actually had the good fortune of getting a copy of it and enjoyed it over the weekend. It's a pleasure and an honor to have Steve Steinfeld, the creator of the series, here with me in studio. Steve, thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Well, I know this is not your first foray into writing, and I know it's certainly not your first foray into providing good advice and content to people that need it. Tell us the story behind the series.
Okay. In 2009, at the height of the Great Recession, if you remember that, I had been doing nonprofit consulting, but I was encouraged to do some counseling for over 40 professionals, mid-career to late-career professionals. So I started doing it really as a volunteer activity. But by 2010, I was in business, and I was coaching many executives and professionals. And in that process, I developed a three-step approach, which is discovery, preparation, and action. In 2012, I wrote my first book on the three steps. Since then, I've written four other books, so this is my fifth book. And I've just been contracted to write the sixth edition of this book for undergraduate college students.
So you have a lot of extra time on your hands. I get it. Well, it's a great read, and congratulations on that success. And we're looking forward to following the progress of book number six. And might I suggest perhaps even a book number seven might be in the works not long after that, if I know a thing or two about you. But the title of this book is Over 40 and Hired Edition. So I want to talk about that, because we've talked about it on the past on this show on Get Down to Business. We've talked about the challenges that recent college graduates have coming out of college, but also over 40. And that's something that officially the economy has continued to improve. As my good friend Andrea Storrs, many of our listeners remember, she's been on the show, have said, the economy has improved for those that have found a job. What about for everybody else? So I know over 40 and hired, that's easier said than done. What are the simple steps, if you can summarize and provide the secret sauce for us, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. So step one is discovery. It's the step that most job seekers overlook. It's the step whereby you select jobs to pursue that are a great match for your interests, your skills, your personal strengths, your knowledge, your education, your experience, and even your work values. Most job seekers skip that step and they go right to preparation, which includes your resume, your LinkedIn profile, a networking plan, and then you go to step three, which revolves around informational interviewing, job interviewing, and negotiating the best compensation package.
And do you think that there's a bit of a psychological thing going on with many folks over 40 having worked in senior executive level positions, and now they're being faced with trying to get into the job force with competing against folks that are half their age, people that are asking for a substantially lesser salary with and are willing to work longer hours and will cost less across the board?
Yeah, you know, you're hitting on a very important thing, Shalom, which is the psychological mindset of the over 40 job seeker. Over 40 job seekers are very often prone to the kind of fear, uncertainty, doubt that leads to discouragement. Once you get into a state of discouragement, it's very difficult to get out of it. That's something that younger job seekers really don't face as much. So it's really the psychological. When you start thinking negatively, like you start thinking about job discrimination, age discrimination, that becomes a deadly thing, which very often leads to a slowdown or even a stoppage of your job search.
It's a tough topic, and I know that you've provided many of the important tips that job seekers need to know. And unfortunately, you need to have an audience that's willing to listen. And often, as I just suggested earlier, they feel privileged, and they feel that they deserve, and they likely do deserve, having put in many years into the workforce. Is this a problem across the country, or is this something unique to our Chicagoland market?
No, it's a problem across the country. I work, most of my work is by Skype. I work with job seekers all over the country, every possible industry, every possible job, every possible management or non-management professional position.
And what about small businesses? What about entrepreneurship? We talk a lot about entrepreneurship on this program. Do you find that small businesses are willing to hire folks that are a little bit older? And my follow-up question to that is, do you feel that sometimes some of these very accomplished professionals maybe shouldn't be looking for work and maybe should consider entrepreneurship or consulting at this stage in their career?
Okay. First thing is that as you get into your 50s and 60s, you should be looking at all of your options, including contract work, consulting, starting your own business. What they face is a situation where small businesses, all right, you know, I have a client right now who's leaving a small business. Now, why is he leaving that small business? It's because he didn't really understand the culture of the business before he got into it. He never really worked for a small business, a privately held business, and he has some conflict with the boss's son. You know, he's actually the second client I've had this year that's run into that kind of a situation. So one of the main things that I suggest to all of my job seekers is that they spend a lot of time understanding the culture of the companies that they're in conversation with, that they're pursuing. The best way to do that is through the informational interview or talking to former employees or checking Glassdoor.com for former employees' comments.
And that's really important. I think that's a step that often job seekers in general, regardless of age, skip over. They just sort of want to jump in, and they don't understand why they're not getting a response. And I think that process of the informational interview or even the information itself, the preparation is really important. Once again, we're chatting with Steven Steinfeld, the author of 3 Steps to Your Best Job Ever, Over 40 and Hired Edition. And we've been talking quite a bit about the over 40 and hired aspect of it. But the title of the book is 3 Steps to Your Best Job Ever. Steve, you're not talking about just settling for a job. You're aiming to help your clients and the people reading the book to aim for their best job ever. Is that correct?
Yes, that's it exactly. You know, if you skip the discovery process, which is what I said a few minutes ago, and you just start sending resumes out to as many job postings as you can, thinking it's a numbers game, you might get a job, but it's probably not going to be a job that you're going to be able to sustain, or you might be underqualified or overqualified for the jobs that you're pursuing. And very often it doesn't work out. In order to get the best possible job, you really need to pinpoint the right job and the right culture. I mentioned that before. It's very important that you investigate the culture of the companies that you're pursuing. Most job seekers don't do that.
Well, that's some great advice from our friend Steve Steinfeld, once again, the author of Three Steps to Your Best Job Ever, Over 40 and Hired Edition. I know it's available on Amazon.com, Kindle, and in paperback form. So hopefully our listeners will check that out. But Steve, I know you do a lot of consulting and speaking. If folks have questions for you, they want to talk to you, where can they find you?
They can reach me at SteinfeldCoaching.com or Steven@SteinfeldCoaching.com, and I'm happy to give everybody a free resume review and consultation.
And that's important. The man who practices what he preaches, helping many folks over 40, as well as folks in all age brackets, find their best job ever, as the name of the book suggests. Once again, available on Amazon.com, Three Steps, Your Best Job Ever, Over 40 and Hired. Congratulations on book number 5. Book number 6 will be out soon. We'll follow your progress. Thanks for joining us on Get Down to Business. Coming up, we've got more tips, advice, and information for all of you small business owners out there. Small business jobs and entrepreneurship is the name of the game here on Get Down to Business. Don't touch that dial, Chicago. We've got more for you after this break.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Taking a look at your Chicagoland roadway, starting on the Edens inbound.
That's small business jobs and entrepreneurship. You're listening to Get Down to Business. I'm your host, Shalom Klein. Remember, we are powered by our good friends at Tandem HR, your solution center. Check out their website, filled with information, TandemHR.com. And I'm joined here in studio by Steve Garko, who is a best-selling author, speaker, coach, and I know you know a thing or two about business. It's an honor to have you here in studio.
Thanks very much, Shalom.
Well, thanks for being here. So I want to talk to you about four letters, but I promise you, George, it's okay for me to say it here on the air. I want to talk to you about LSDM. Tell us what those letters mean to you.
That stands for Lean Strategic Decision Model.
And is that something, I know you've mentioned that off air, that's something that you talked to a lot of business owners about. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you're helping business owners make better decisions.
Sure. One of the things that's really interesting through my career is I noticed that companies have a difficult time making strategic decisions. And so what I decided I wanted to do is to help companies improve that by developing a process that helps companies make better strategic decisions. And by better, I mean more efficiently and more effectively.
If you could provide an example of how LSDM, those lean strategic decisions, have helped companies of all sizes, that would be, help our listeners understand what you're talking about.
Sure. The one I think of is with a small business, and they were faced with a situation where they were trying to decide which product to develop. It was a small drug company. And what we ended up doing, and I know this is a little bit different, but what we ended up doing is we did an analysis and we showed that none of the alternatives that they have would actually be commercially successful. Now, the reason why that's important is if they hadn't have made that decision, they could have spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars working on something that was never going to provide any potential benefit. So
that makes sense. So you call the process lean. Explain the use of that word. Why do you call it lean?
Sure. Well, lean, as you know, comes from the Kraftchick article that looked at Toyota, right? And what the lean process is all about is it's about making decisions more efficiently. And really, that's what we do with the Lean Strategic Decision Model. What we do is we look at it, principally the last three areas of decision analysis, data collection, and then making the decision itself. And what we do is we compact that into making it more effective and more efficient. They get through it much faster.
Hence
than
the
they
word
would
lean.
Otherwise.
That makes sense. So yes. I hate to do this to you, but I'm picking up apart every word over here. That explains the lean piece. And I joke with some friends of mine that anytime you want to sound important, use the word strategic.
Right.
It makes you sound important. It makes it sound, you could be talking about potato chips, and if you talk about strategic, suddenly it makes you sound smart. What does strategic mean for you, and how does it work with the businesses that you are helping?
Sure. Well, basically, strategy is all about forming a path for a company to move forward. And one of the things that's interesting is that research shows that if companies don't spend time trying to develop the path for how they're going to meet their vision, they generally don't achieve their vision. And in fact, you know, if you, what we do know is that companies that are good at strategic decision making generally have a long-term financial performance that is better than companies that don't.
Interesting. So that's the use of the word lean and strategic. We'll get back to the decision model in a moment. But in your book, you talk about some strategic decision myths. Can you talk about myth number one, that strategic decisions are not important?
Well, the way that I think about this is that if you look at most public companies, they think that there's really only one important job for the senior leaders to do, and that's to hit their financial performance numbers every quarter. And quite honestly, those people don't get fired for making bad strategic decisions. But the problem with that is that strategy is going to have a much more significant long-term impact on the company to a huge degree. And so what I try and do is I try and help executives get out of this quarterly financial mindset. That's important. I agree. But what they need to do is take some of their time, maybe 15% or something like that, and then focus on their strategy. And really what we're talking about with LSDM is to make it more efficient so that they can get to that strategy much more quickly.
Once again, we're chatting with Steve Garko, the creator of this model, and I know you are a award-winning author and speaker, and you certainly know a thing or two about this LSDM process that we've been talking quite a bit about. But tell us your story. Tell us how you got into this and why you're so passionate about this approach and this decision-making model that's helping so many business owners around the country.
Well, it's kind of a what's interesting is that the concepts actually came about in 2002. So it's a long time ago. But we were working at my top 300 company. And what we were trying to do is find out how to implement a new process that would fulfill about $500 million in sales per year. And we had a difficult time doing that. At that point in time, we decided to implement what I would call the rudimentary aspects of LSDM. And quite honestly, after we did that, we were successful. We found it. But I kind of tabled it for a good 10 years. But what happened was I found that small businesses, I started to focus on small businesses, entrepreneurial businesses. And I found out that many of them were very poor at making strategic decisions. And as you know, Shalom, the key for a small business, if you make a bad strategic decision, you don't usually have the money to do a do-over. You're going to run out of money before you get to
that's
do
right.
that. So that's what I was trying to do. That kind of stimulated me to start to talk about it and eventually get enough information to write a book.
So you're using the two-letter word that I love to talk about, the small business, the SBs of the world, which, as our listeners know, we talk a lot about here and very passionate about. When you talk about this lean strategic decision model, it sounds like something that's relevant to a Fortune 500 company, a company that's bigger, a company that has teams and teams and teams of people with big fancy boardrooms where you're able to sit and have large meals while having strategic decisions. Steve, are you suggesting that small businesses can take a step back and actually have a strategic discussion as well?
Well, in fact, when I look at my clients, most of my clients are small to mid-sized businesses. The big companies, they've got huge departments focused on strategy. And so what I try and do is I try and work with the leadership team. So we're talking about companies that can have five or six leaders who basically are having a difficult time either because of group dynamics or because of politics and power, that aren't able to get to the point where they can look at a strategy from a fact-based standpoint. And so, quite honestly, I think any company can benefit from focusing on strategy, and I think that small companies actually can benefit the most from this because you're not dealing with as much of this company politics. The small company, they're generally always focused on the same objective. They just may not have the tools that will get them to that objective.
That's absolutely correct. So your book. Your advice is certainly important to small businesses as well as to billion-dollar companies.
Absolutely.
As well. And that approach is relevant to companies of all sizes, entrepreneurs thinking about this process, thinking about starting a company. I think start it right, and you avoid mistakes. You could start with that strategic decision-making process. And we say this all the time on this show. Think about the process. Be strategic, because sometimes people like to pull the trigger and they don't think strategically, and they end up making mistakes. At the same time, disclaimer, don't think too strategically and don't plan for years and years and years without pulling the trigger, because we want to see action from all these small business owners. We want to see progress. So Steve Garko, thank you so much for joining us here in studio. I hope our listeners can get in touch with you, find your book, and find your information. Steve, how can people get a hold of you?
Sure. The best way is to go to my website, which is stevegarko.com. That's Steve, GARCHOW.com. And one of the things that's available on my website is a free assessment of your effectiveness at making strategic decisions.
Fantastic. Well, I hope our listeners will take advantage of that free assessment available on the website. Once again, stevegarko.com. Check it out. Steve will follow up with you on that process, and I hope our listeners will take advantage of that process. In the meantime, you can download podcasts from our conversation with Steve Garko, Steve Steinfeld, and our upcoming guest, Salima Nash, from iMentor, on my website, shalomkline.com. In fact, you could even get a sneak peek of who's going to be on next week on the show, all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship. Check that out on my website, shalomkline.com. And we've got a lot more tips and advice for you after this quick break, so don't touch that dial. Lots more for you.
The clock is ticking. The most important political event of the year comes to Chicago on October 29th. It's Freedom
Employees, just to introduce the iMentor model and do a deeper dive. And then the third call to action is iMentor. We started with 200 mentor-mentee pairs here in the Chicagoland area, and in the next 3 years, we will be servicing upwards of 2,000 mentor-mentee pairs. And the only thing that will stop us from scaling in the way that we would want to is funding. So you can make a donation, and you can do that at iMentor.org, and you can actually do a classification where you donate specifically to our work in Chicago if you are interested in supporting iMentor.
So the dollars that are raised are going back right back into the community and really making an impact on the youth throughout the city of Chicago. But again, the work, the impact really all over the country. And I have a feeling that beyond the cities that you're servicing right now, we're going to be hearing a lot more about the success and the success stories of the iMentor program. Halima Nash, thank you so much for joining us on Get Down to Business. Once again, I would strongly, strongly encourage our listeners to get on the website, iMentor.org, where you could donate, volunteer, get involved on so many levels with a fantastic organization. Halima, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, after the break, we've got a special treat for you. We're going to be talking more about small business, more about jobs, and more about entrepreneurship. As always, you could get on our website, shalomkline.com, where you could download podcasts and learn more about our fantastic guests on this program. Don't touch that dial. More for you after the break.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Taking a look at your Chicagoland roadways, starting on the Edens. No problems to report in either direction. If you're traveling on the Kennedy inbound O'Hare to downtown, 31-minute trip, 17 from Montrose. And the up on side, fine to Montrose, a little tight out to the airport between Montrose and Sayre, taking to 26. Express lanes open, no problems to report. Eisenhower headed in Thorndale to the Circle, 32 from Mannheim 19. Up on side at Des Plaines, there is a one-car crash in the entrance ramp. Make sure to keep an eye out for that. Heavy between Cicero and Des Plaines. Taking the 32 out to Mannheim, 45 out to Thorndale. Stevenson inbound looking good. Outbound going to be slow between Damon and Cicero, 29 to the Tri-State, 39 to 355. Dan Ryan in, 95 to downtown, 19. I-57 in, 80 to the Ryan, 16. Lakeshore Drive, usual delays. Tollways, Jane Addams eastbound, Barrington to Roselle. Stop and go due to a crash off to the right shoulder. Our next update's in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Hi there, I'm Dick Smith from the Playmaker Spotlight. Every day I speak with successful CEOs and they share many of the same issues you do. You might feel a bit isolated, perhaps lonely at the top, wishing you could get some fresh thinking and perspectives on challenges you face. Well, this is where I come in. I'm a CEO coach and award-winning chair for Visage International, an organization of successful executives. I invite you to check out one of my peer advisory groups. Let me answer any of your questions at dick.smith@vistagechair.com.
I'm Pete Sikorsky, COO of Get Fresh Produce, where restaurants, grocery stores, and other food suppliers can take their pick of local, seasonal, and specialty produce. At Get Fresh Produce, our fresh thinking lets us work more efficiently and creatively so we can focus on customer needs. That's why it was an easy choice to partner with Tandem HR, who handles...
Be part of the solution? Come to the FCCI Business Leadership Conference, September 18th through the 22nd. You don't want to miss it. Go to FCCI.org now. FCCI.org.
Back on Get Down to Business, the show all about small business jobs and entrepreneurship. And I saw a line recently. It might sound obvious to some of our listeners. It wasn't so obvious to me. And I thought it was worth sharing on today's program. The line was very, very simple. Five words. Opening is the new closing. It was from a fellow, Anthony Ionario. And it appeared on my computer screen last week. And I wasn't really sure what to do first. I recognized the truth of those five words instantly and can't deny that I fought back a wee bit of I wish I'd said that jealousy, because maybe people would be quoting me instead. I have to quote other people. But I was also filled with laugh-inducing excitement because this phrase illuminates one of the biggest shifts in sales today. If we can embrace it and act on its wisdom, we'll absolutely increase our revenue. So I talk, as our listeners know, I talk to a lot of business owners every week, people in all different industries. We just spoke to a fantastic lineup of guests. We just spoke with Steve Steinfeld, who wrote a book specifically relating to job seekers, specifically over 40. We spoke with Steve Garko, who talked to us a little bit about a decision-making process, and Halima Nash of iMentor. And those are all three very different people. Today alone, I've met with a number of different people, a number of different organizations. And the one thing that all of these people that I dealt with and interacted with just today have in common is that they're all hungry. They're all aggressive. They all want more. And I think that's the true sign of an entrepreneur, a true sign of somebody, anybody in business, whether you own a business or you're working in a company, you need to be hungry. And that's what companies are looking for, people that are willing to take an idea and take it to the next level. And you have to express that passion every single day of your business, every day of your job in order to make that the reality. So when I want to go back to those five words that I heard that I mentioned earlier, which is opening is the new closing. Today, I dial more and speak with fewer prospects, but more of those prospects become clients. That's what I heard from, again, Anthony, who wrote that line, and I think it's true of many of the clients that I work with. Why? Until I read that quote, I passed it off of those years, these past few years of selling and the skills that I've developed over that time, but at a gut level, I knew that it wasn't true. Instinctively, I felt that there was another reason that many of the people that I work with, their closing ratio and those of many of my clients were higher than expected and continually increasing. The simple, beautiful fact is that when a prospect takes the time to speak with us or meet with us or view our demo or whatever the case may be, they are already open to the possibility of working with us. This has not always been the case. In fact, it's been a monumental shift in the sales process. For much of the past few years, I've spent a lot of time speaking with people who, out of politeness or curiosity or tradition, they listened to me, but either did not want to buy anything or years away from making a buying decision. While all of those conversations were enjoyable and helped me strengthen my communication skills, they really did. They took up time, both mine and the prospects. Today, prospects do not give us that time unless there's at least an inkling, a drop of interest on their part. On a day-to-day level, that means that you and your sales team have to become more persistent. You need to dial more because, as I mentioned before, everybody you're trying to reach is overwhelmed. But if those that speak with you return your calls, respond to your email, well, as I said just a few minutes ago, opening is the new closing. So with thanks to Anthony Iannamoro from the B2B Sales Coach, that's where I saw in his weekly email, I saw that those words pop up in my email. Thought it was worth sharing, and I certainly hope our listeners can take that advice. Opening is the new closing. If you are going to find a prospect, find somebody that's at least somewhat interested in what you do, as Steve Steinfeld said earlier on the program, take the time, do the research. The same advice holds true, not just in the job search, but in business as well. Take the time, do the research, get ready. Get ready in the process, prepare, look into who they are, look into what they do, look into everything about them, who they're connected to. And remember that if they're going to talk to you, if they're going to give you the time for a cup of coffee or for a phone call, it means that they are slightly interested and you have a window of opportunity. Don't mess it up. It's that simple. Don't mess it up. Take advantage of that opportunity. Keep that door open. Get in on that opportunity. Chances are the sales cycle will be shorter than you might imagine. You might be able to actually close the deal and actually find ways to work with that individual, whether it's on the business side or the employment side, much sooner than you might imagine. Give it a try and remember those five words. Opening is the new closing. Try it out this week in business. Once again, what a fantastic lineup of guests. We spoke with Steve Steinfeld. Encourage you to check out his book, Over 40 and Hired. It's the fifth in his series of books. We spoke with Steve Garko, who talked to us about the Lean Strategic Decision Model that he's really been able to implement in small businesses as well as billion-dollar companies. What a fantastic lesson. And finally, Halima Nash of the iMentor organization that has recently expanded into Chicago but is making an impact throughout the Chicagoland area. And as always, I encourage you to get in touch with our friends at Tandem HR. They are experts on the PEO, the Professional Employer Organization model, on everything Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act related. It's here and it's here to stay, and you need to take advantage of the experts at Tandem HR that could give you some great advice. Give them a call, 630-928-0510, 630-928-0510, or visit their website, tandemhr.com, tandemhr.com. Tell them Shalom sent you from Get Down to Business. And coming up after the break, I've got a little bit of a tribute on this 15th anniversary of September 11th. I'll tell you a story that I heard this morning. Once again, you're listening to Get Down to Business. I'm your host, Shalom Klein. We'll be back in a moment.
Great talent is the driving force behind your successful business. If you don't have the right people in key roles, then you have talent gaps. IMC Solutions identifies those gaps and delivers expertise in recruiting the right talent to fill them, leaving you free to succeed.
Hi, I'm Linda Nichols. One of our startup technology clients needed to hire account executives to generate more business and get their product to market. As a young company, they didn't have the budget to hire an internal recruiting staff, so we presented our fixed cost solution where they utilized our internal recruiters as their offsite recruiting team. Clients benefit because we're using our resources and recruiting expertise to find top salespeople they need to hire. We give them guarantees that no other search firm does. Win-win for all.
IMC Solutions understands the unique challenges of your business, making the tough job of hiring easy. Get started on finding your next hire today at imcsolutions.com or call Linda Nichols at 630-637-6200.
The government continually takes from you 28% more taxes in the city of Chicago this year. It's time.
We stood for a moment of silence and they rang the bells, and it was a very somber ceremony where we remembered the thousands of lives that were lost in the terror attacks on 9/11 in New York City, in the Pentagon, and in the field in Pennsylvania. Terrible, terrible day. 15 years ago, I remember exactly where I was when I heard the news. I was in school, and I remember folks coming in. And I guess this morning I had a moment when I was chatting with the fire chief here in Skokie. I didn't connect the dots between the local connection. He told me about all of the fire departments in the Chicagoland area, Skokie certainly included, and Skokie being a leader in the process, More than half of each of the departments, for the most part, actually spent some time in New York City in the weeks following the terror attacks. And they went out. Actually, some of the firefighters actually self-deployed, which was not recommended or advised, but they did not get themselves into trouble because of the what everybody was going through. But half of each of the departments, for the most part, went out to New York in the weeks following the attacks to help clean up, but also to attend the funerals that were going on. And there were some just incredible stories that were shared with me from their time in New York. They actually interacted with a number of people from Chicago that were in New York, including from Skokie. And in my case, they were in New York during the terror attacks. And there are some literally miracles of survival that that took place, and some incredible inspirational stories of people helping others. And that's sort of why I wanted to have Halima Nash on the program earlier, talking about mentoring. I think that there's always something that that we can do. We're not all firefighters. We're not all paramedics. We don't necessarily, I wouldn't say that every day, as much as I love to think that Get Down to Business is making an impact in people's careers, people's businesses. I'm not a first responder. I'm not able to swoop in the after effects of an emergency and necessarily save a life. But there's always something that every one of us can do, an inspirational moment that we can have, a thought that we can share, a way that we can help other people. And that's sort of the lesson that I'm taking out today on this 15th anniversary of September 11th is do a little something more, do a little something special for somebody. The day's almost over today. It's we're wrapping up the end of the program. It's almost 7 o'clock. So the day's almost over today, but in your work week this week, the days following September 11th, 2016, 15 years later, go into the workplace, go into your office and find a younger colleague, find somebody that you can mentor, find somebody that you're willing to just give a little bit of extra time to. Perhaps it's out in the field. Maybe you'll volunteer to have a cup of coffee with somebody, buy somebody a cup of coffee. That's an easy way to help somebody. But find a way that you can inspire somebody else. Pay it forward, as we always say, and this program, givers gain, pay it forward. That's the best type of networking. That's the best way that you can make an impact. Again, we're not firefighters. We can't have the impact that my friends at the Skokie Fire Department had in the days and weeks following the September 11th terror attacks. But 15 years later, we can make a difference. We can make an impact. And I'm hoping that everybody will do their part. What a fantastic lineup of guests, people doing their part in helping the business community. Steve Steinfeld, his book is available on Amazon.com. Over 40 and Hired, check out his book. Steve Garko, his website, stevegarko.com. Halima Nash of iMentor, imentor.org. And finally, I shared with you some steps on opening is the new closing. Make sure you check that out on my website, shalomkline.com. Check out tandemhr.com. They are your solution center. Give them a call, 630-928-0510. And we'll be back next week with more tips, advice, and information for you to success. Let's get down to business. We'll talk to you next week.
For the past 100 years, R.B. Hayward Company has been a leader in the Chicagoland HVAC sheet metal industry. Hayward has installed ventilation systems in landmark Chicago buildings.